Right, can we turn to Luke chapter 19? Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we'll turn, please, to Luke chapter 15. We'll come back to Luke chapter 15. And reading at verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than other 99 just persons which need no repentance. Right, we'll come to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And reading at verse 25. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. Sorry, Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and verse 22. I was getting my readings mixed up there. Right. And straightly Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and he cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, Thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And lastly, if we turn to Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, and in verse 25, Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and translated unto God, and prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing that the prison door was open, he drew out his sword, and he killed himself, supposing that the prisoner had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, for we all here. Then he called for the light and sprang in and came trembling. He fell down before Paul and Silas and brought him out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now give thee that God all a blessed reading of his Holy Scripture. Right, tonight I want to speak about the subject of saved and lost. So from the passages that we've read, I want to bring different aspects of saved and lost. Many people here will know that I was brought up in a Christian family. I was taken along the gospel meeting at Kenway every week, and I heard the gospel from an early age. But I can remember distinctly when I was at the age of 7, I remember going to the gospel meeting, and the preacher talking about you had to be saved, and that really troubled me. It was really impressed on my heart. I went home that night at the side of my bed, and I asked the Lord simply to save me. And I prayed that prayer, and I was saved that night. And desire is that if there's anyone here who's not yet saved, that even this night we're able to accept Lord Jesus as a Saviour and be able to look back to that day and say that we've been saved. Now we'll come first of all to the first verse that we read. Luke chapter 19. And it's just that one verse. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, the expression Son of Man is an interesting expression, isn't it? It's not something that we use in a normal language. But Lord Jesus used this many, many times when he was here. And what he's really saying in that expression, Son of Man, he's saying that he is God come as a man. Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, he's with God in the beginning. God has three different parts of one God. God the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus, he took on the form of man, he came as a man, and he dwelt on this earth. So, the Son of Man. And he left the splendor of heaven, he had that highest place, and he came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And you might ask, why would he do this? Why would the Lord Jesus, one who created all things, right? The Bible says that he created all things and it holds all things by the word of his power. He created the world in 6 days. And the Bible says that as Lord Jesus part of that Trinity that actually created. So why would he come? Well, the verse in John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why the Lord Jesus came. He came because he loved us. He came to seek and to save those that were lost, those that were far from us. So I'm going to move now to Luke chapter 15. And there it's about the Lord Jesus is using an example of a lost sheep. So we'll come to Luke chapter 15. Now, exactly here is a lost sheep. I'm sure many of us, especially if you die, you can go empathise with being lost. If you went somewhere, you're trying to get somewhere, maybe a meeting, maybe a different place, and you take a wrong turn, and you're completely lost. Well, in the old car that I had, it had a built-in sat-nav system, and that was quite handy. You just plugged in where you want to go, and it took you there. Although sometimes it would get mixed up as you take time with these things. But what I found was if you ignored it a couple of times when it didn't quite make sense, it soon found its way. But in my car sensor, I've not had that, but if you don't have that, what you would do is you would phone someone, wouldn't you? You would quite often when I'm going to someone's house or something, I can't find it. I phone my friend and I say, I'm lost, how do I get there? And they give me directions, but in some instances they may actually come out and guide you there. So it's lost in the physical sense here. It's lost geographically, if you like. So use the example of the lost sheep. So in verse 1 and 2, it says, they drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners. Now the Pharisees always looked to pick fault with the Lord Jesus, and here they accuse him of mixing with sinners. Well, I've got good news for everyone here tonight, that the Lord Jesus, he receives sinners. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He's got love for sinners. There's a verse in John chapter 6, verse 36, that says, he that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. So no matter how bad you think you are, no matter how far away from God you think you are. But then here were the publicans and sinners were the worst of society in that day and age. That Lord Jesus had time for them, and he has time for you. And he will receive you. This man receives your sinners. So in answer to the Pharisees, who we were picking fault with him. He tells this parable of a lost sheep, and he's comparing himself here to the shepherd, who has 100 sheep. He leaves 99 sheep in the wilderness to seek that one sheep who was lost. But what does that tell us? Well, I'll suggest tonight that what that tells us is that he has a care for each one here tonight individually. You had 100 sheep, you lost one. Some people may be happy with that and may say, well, of course I've got 99. But not the Lord Jesus. He came seeking the faith. He sets out that one that was lost in this parable here as a shepherd. And that tells us that us individually, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your individual needs, the Lord Jesus cares. And he's not willing that any should perish. There's a verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 49, and it says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, another thing about a sheep, we can take a few different points from this passage about a sheep and apply it to our own lives. The first thing I want to pick out is that a sheep tends to wander off, doesn't it? If I can get through a hole in a fence, it's off like a shot. No concern for where it's going. No concern or worries about that. Well, just like a lost sheep, we've wandered far from the shepherd and from the fold. We've wandered far from God. There's a verse in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, and it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Because of our sinful nature, we seek to follow our own way. We turn away from God. We rebel against God. Now, another point about a lost sheep, as I said before, it's not concerned that when it bolts through a hole in the fence, it's not concerned with the dangers it faces. It needs a shepherd to come and find it. It can't do anything for itself. And that's why, because of our sin, we're separated from God, but like lost sheep, there's nothing we can do, but we need someone to come to do something for us. And that was the Lord Jesus. Now sin has consequences. The sheep's not concerned about consequences. A sheep that escapes onto the road, it may well get knocked down, it may well come upon all sorts of harms, but it's not concerned about that. That's like us in many ways. We continue with our lives, we're not concerned about our sin, but sin does have consequences. And there's a verse that says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. So sin has consequences, and that is death. And that's just not death in this life, but that's eternal death. But God will one day punish sin, and we'll all get away before God. None of us will meet God's standards, but through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have our sins forgiven. And we'll speak a bit more about that later on. So, what then can we do then? Well, the second part of that verse in Isaiah, it's a book about all sheep going astray, going its own way, that's us. But the second half of that verse says, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We'll talk about here, Isaiah, he's speaking about the Lord Jesus and the time that he would come. And God, sin was punished, but God put all the punishment for sin on his own son. That iniquity, the Lord Jesus bore it on the cross. Now, a good shepherd cares for a sheep, doesn't it? It'll go out of his way to protect the sheep. It'll put his life before the sheep. The Lord Jesus says in another passage, John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And that's what the Lord Jesus did for us. He gave his life on the cross. He paid that price for sin, so we didn't have to. So in our next verse, it's talking about what happens when he finds a sheep. He's rejoicing, doesn't he? Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which is lost. And it says that, likewise, there's rejoicing in heaven over a sinner that repents. Now, if you lose something, it depends how valuable that thing is, doesn't it? Whether you really bothered where you find it or not. If you lose something, you say, well, it wasn't really that important to me. And you might find it again, you say, oh, that's fine. But if something is really precious to you, really important to you, if you find that, then you'll rejoice. You'll be happy. And that's what it's saying here. But God loved us so that when we were lost to him because of our sin, he sent his son. And those of us when we come to Lord Jesus and accept him as Saviour, we rejoice in, because we are precious to God. Each one of us individually, we're valued. So that's good news for each of us here tonight. If we accept Jesus as our Saviour, we'll be rejoicing in heaven over our sin and our repentance. But I want to move over to Matthew chapter 14. And this time it's a different example of being lost. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. Now this time it's not lost geographically, if you like, but it's being lost at sea, drowning. Now I'm not sure if any of us have any close shares with water and almost drowning and these sort of things, but I think it's a fear that most people have, that if you're in the water, that you may drown if something happens, and it won't be a particularly good way to die. I think it'd be quite a terrible way to die. But it's example here of being lost at sea, drowning. Now, I lived in Lebanon until I was about 14, and I've got a couple of examples for you of times when I wouldn't say I've had really sort of close shares where I came close to drowning, but there's a couple of flights that I had. And one of those was when I was young, staying in Lebanon, I used to hang out with my cousin. Better watch what I say, because my auntie's here tonight. But there were lots of things that I didn't really think about at the time, nothing too bad, but one of the things we did, just across the way there's a pier, across from the power station, and we used to jump off that pier. It sounds quite crazy now, doesn't it, jumping off the pier. It was quite strange actually, because there was a ladder, on the side of the ladder going up the river, and it was fine, but on the other side of the ladder there was a strong current. So if you were to go over the side of that ladder, you pulled out to sea. So that's how crazy it was. But anyway, I remember one time jumping off that and going under and hitting the bottom, and I was so disorientated. It was dark, and just for a second, I didn't actually know which way was up. I remember panicking, and then I went up the right direction, and I came out. And there was another time at Leaving Pool there. I can remember when that pool was built, actually. That's how I don't know what it was, but I still wasn't living anyway. I think I was still at primary school, maybe primary seven. But anyway, I thought those who have been there, you know, there's a wave machine. It's quite a strong wave machine, particularly when you're maybe about 10 or something. And then by the deep end, I think it varies how sort of strong you make it, but that night it was really high waves. And I remember really struggling there, and I was thinking, oh, I'm not going to make it here, has anybody seen me? But I was okay. So that's a couple of examples that I've had. I'm sure there's maybe some people here that have examples of nearly drowning. But now, in this story here, I just want to pick out a few points. Now, the story here is that the disciples are in a boat, going away from them. He just fed 5,000. They went up in the mountain to pray. And the disciples are on a boat. and the strong winds, and at night time we see the Lord Jesus walking towards them in the water. And Peter, being the sort of bold character that he was, he shouts out to the Lord Jesus and he says, he says, Lord, if it's you, let me come on the water with you. Yes, he says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he says, come. So Peter walks on the water, which must have been a marvellous thing to do. The only person to have ever done that apart from Lord Jesus. But then, he looks at the wind and starts to sink. And the point I want to bring it here is that as Peter's sinking here, in a sense we're sinking in our sin, and it drags us down, it drags us under. And Peter here could have drowned if he hadn't called out to the Lord Jesus. In the same way, we can, if we don't accept the Lord Jesus, one day we'll go to that place called hell instead of that place called heaven. And that's all the consequences of sin and of not accepting the Lord Jesus. But Peter, he shouts out, Lord, save me. Now we, in the same way as Peter here, can shout out the same prayer. That was a prayer that I made all those years ago when I was 7 years old. Just ask the Lord to save me. If we shout out to the Lord Lord save me, simple prayer to the Lord Jesus, I ask him to save us, understanding that we're a sinner, and accept the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. For we too can be saved. And the best bit of the one it says, immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. So, if we call it towards Jesus, he will receive us immediately. And that's without exception. He'll accept us. But there's a verse we quoted earlier, John chapter 6, verse 36. John chapter 6, verse 36. Him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. Right, so I'm just going to move on lastly to Acts chapter 16. It's a well-known Bible story of Philippian and jailer. Now here, it's not lost geographically. It's not lost in the sense of being lost at sea. But it's really lost as in the sense of being lost in the circumstances of life. The jailer here, he's in disparity circumstances. Paul and Silas have been thrown in prison and at midnight there's a great earthquake and the bands are loosed. And the jailer panics and thinks, we've all escaped, which would have no doubt led to punishment for him from his superiors. But he's in despair. Now that's what sin does for us. It brings and it causes misery to people's lives. There's people all around. See, seeking for fulfillment and temporary things of the world, and alcohol and drugs and all these things, and the lives are ravaged by sin. Sin is the ultimate cause of these things. Sin brings misery. There can be no fulfillment in this life from pleasures of the world or of any of these things. It can only bring misery. So Paul reassures them and he says, don't panic, but we're all here. Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. So jailer, he calls out and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they answer, well, this question first of all, what must I do to be saved? It's really the most important questions we could ever ask, isn't it? I hope if anyone here is not yet saved, that tonight we're asking that question, what must I do to be saved? Maybe you've been asking that question tonight. Now the answer is very simple. Paul answers, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So we're thinking about being saved and lost. Some have turned this question around, this question, what must I do to be saved? And they've said, what must I do to be lost? Well, the answer to that is, you need to do nothing to be lost. Just continue as you are, and you're lost. But yet, to be saved, all we need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we simply believe on the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved. So let's have a word of prayer. Our God and Father, thank you indeed for this message we've heard tonight, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. I don't care if there's anyone in this hall tonight who hasn't yet accepted the Lord Jesus, but you may indeed come in simple faith and say, Lord, save me, and accept that I'm a sinner before God, and accept the Lord Jesus as a Saviour. I thank you indeed for all that that has done for us, O God, and sending thy Son from the heights of heaven to become a man and to die on that cross. We know it's because of the love that thou would have for us. And we thank you indeed for all that you've done for us. These things we ask in Saviour's name. Amen. Right, I've got a closing hymn. Hymn number 83. Hymn number 83. Come sin and behold what Jesus have done. Behold how suffer for thee. They crucified him, God's innocent son. For Satan he died on the tree. So what will you do with Jesus your king? See, how will you meet him at last? What plea in the day of wrath will you bring? When offers of mercy have passed. We'll just sing a whole hymn. I'm just meditating.